I want to, since it is Father's Day, Hunter, our media guy, I mean, don't you just love our media department? They are phenomenal back there. He's always sending me stuff, and some stuff I don't open because I can't open it. And tech people do things different than normal people. Okay, they just do things different. And so he's got this video that being Father's Day, I want you to listen to it, and then I'm going to preach to you today on being a father. And I'm also going to preach to the women, because Ralph and I made a pact a long time ago. If I preach hard at the women on Mother's Day, that I got to preach hard to the fathers on Father's Day. And so I'm just combining some today. Amen. So I want you to watch this video. And are you ready, Hunter? I think so. Amen. And so watch this video.
The hardest thing that I've ever done in my life was to sit in a hospital room and watch my son die. And watch my wife watch her son die. Watch my other two children watch their brother die. And there was nothing I could do. I would have done anything. As painful as that was for me, and as difficult as it still is, I've never experienced anything that has made me more aware of the love of God. What does that even mean? I watched my son die and couldn't do anything. God watched his son die for me and for you. And he could have stopped it. But he loved us so much that he didn't.
Amen. I think that's fitting today for a father's love. We don't really understand that. Who could have stopped one of the most painful moments in his life, but he didn't, because he loved you and he loved me. I think if we love our kids, we should do everything possible to ensure they know Jesus. They may never come to know Jesus. Unfortunately, some won't. But it should never be because they never had the opportunity, because fathers and mothers didn't take them to church, didn't present the gospel to them. What a tragedy. You want to know a tragedy? That is a tragedy. When fathers step back from being spiritual leaders in their home, that, my friend, is a tragedy. And we see it happen every day. I don't have a lot of scripture today. I told Hunter my passage of scripture. He said, "That's it." I said, "That's it." The first passage of scripture I would like to read is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, depending on where you stand theologically, that can mean several different things. But I want to suggest to you today that if you'll put the word of God in your child at an early age, I'm talking about from baby, I'm talking about when they're in the womb, I'm talking about singing spiritual songs over them, hymns, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about from the moment, if we believe that a baby is a baby at conception, why do we wait till they're 10? Come on, somebody, I'm going to preach better than you're going to amen me today. Why do we wait so long to start talking to them about Jesus? You've given up 10 years of society and culture and school to ingrain in your kids what they think they ought to be, not what God's word says they ought to be. So the word train, the Greek word you pronounce is shana, which means to dedicate or to inaugurate, to dedicate or to inaugurate. Now, we dedicate kids around here, and if you've ever been to one of the dedications that I do, I simply put the burden not on the child. It's not just giving the child back to God. The burden is upon the parent to make sure that the child is trained correctly. Come on, somebody. And so the Bible teaches this, and I think this is a fitting passage of Scripture for today on Father's Day, that we learn how to train our children. Fathers, you need to learn how to train your sons and your daughters. So I've got a list of five things that I believe, and some of these I have stolen from Dr. James Dobson. I love Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. So I want to tell you up front, I've stole some of those ideas, which I believe in 100%. But I want to start with this one. Number one is fathers. These are five, he calls them key roles, and I'll call them key roles of fatherhood. Number one is leadership in the family. Leadership in the family. We have taken leadership role from the father and just kind of spread it out to, watch this, to the mothers and to the children. We're leaving our children to lead themselves and stuff. You say, are you, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, how many of you stick one of these electronic devices in front of them and say, now don't you watch anything bad? Knowing you don't have a parental boundaries or guidelines on that. And say, now you don't watch anything bad. Okay, yeah, right. You give a 13-year-old boy that, and he's not going to watch anything bad, I assure you, because mom and daddy go to church. There's a new Greek word for that called baloney. Amen? So leadership in the family. We'll talk about some of these in more depth. Number two is spiritual training. Somehow the church has gotten so modern that it's turned into feminism. We're just feminists now in the church. The churches are decorated by women. Why? Because the men don't want to show up. I'm going to whoop on you a little bit today, fathers, because I love you. I'm teaching you some Bible. Because the men don't want to show up and pick out church colors. I'll never forget. Where's Bobby Miller? Where's my buddy at? Where's Bobby? Bobby, raise your hand. You're somewhere in this building. He knows I'm going to pick on him. We talked about this just the other day. One of the greatest, I get a lot of stuff from this, and I've used this in a lot of life applications and in business and in the church. And we were back here building the new building, and we were in the breezeway connection, and we were putting the tin on the roof underneath. And we had already done this, and we were on scaffolding, and Bobby comes to the church, and he looks up in Bobby's wisdom way, and he says, now, why don't we do it like that? And I responded, because you wouldn't hear to tell me any different. He said, good enough for me. And he walks on. I've used that in so many ways. If you want, here's the takeaway. If you want to change something, show up. Help do something. If you don't want the church to be so feminine, show up, men. Come on. If you're thinking the women ought to do it, you hadn't read the Bible. Come on, somebody. The men's one shows up and builds stuff. The men's one shows up and does handiwork. The men shows up and does the pain. The men show up and the women come by and they can agree or disagree with it and we can change it. Amen. Spiritual training. We've done the same thing with spiritual training in the home. We said, well, Mom, you do it. Right off the bat, watch me. Now, I'm not saying that the women shouldn't have any spiritual training at all to the home, because they do. They have greater influence in a child's life up till about 5 years old than the father. But here's what happens is we turn all the spiritual training over to the mother and say, now you do it because it's your responsibility. Right off the bat, you're going against God's word. I'm not saying it won't work because we have single mothers in the house and it's working. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're married and you're a father, you need to take that responsibility to step up and say, it's my role to teach spiritual things to my children. If you don't want to, then what's the problem? Here's what I think the problem is. We don't want to be spiritual ourselves. Number three, fathers are to be protectors of the family. Praise God. Amen. I like to be a protector of my family. I like for my wife to know at 2 o'clock in the morning, if somebody's beating on the window, trying to get in the house, she knows where every gun is, I'll be in the closet. Amen. No. You gotta teach your wife to shoot those guns, amen, in Jesus' name. No. I want my wife to know that she can come in where I'm probably already asleep if it's past 9 or 9:30 and wake me up and say, somebody's at the door. And she don't have to find me snuggled between the two mattresses waiting for them to go away. We ought to be protectors of the family physically. We also ought to be protectors of the family spiritually. We should stand at the door and guard against things. You should stand in front of your television, come on somebody, and guard against those things that's coming at your kids. You should guard against those things coming through the internet at your house. Come on somebody. Protection, not just in the physical, look at me. The biggest, baddest guy in here could be taken out with one .22 bullet. You're not that bad. Come on, somebody. Protection of our family. That's why our families are in disarray today. It's because the fathers took on different roles and said, Mom, you do this and I'll do this. And I'll make up these rules as we go. And I'll be the leader the way I want to be the leader and forget God's word. Number four, provision. Oh, that's me. Every man, that's me. I'm a provider. Yes, woo, I'm the provider. I want to make provision. That's why the woman has this role. It doesn't say that. You're to be a provider, and there can be two income providers. I'm not against that at all, not in today's society. I'm not against that. I'm just telling you that if your role is a provider, and it is, that doesn't say that I get to give up spiritual roles, spiritual training roles. That doesn't say that. Matter of fact, you got to get up a little earlier and stay up a little later and manage a little better so you can get it all in. Amen. And lastly, discipline. Discipline. My mother disciplined me when she needed to. Not very much. If she was here today, Ralph, you would hear her say something like, that's not true. Amen. He's lying. Get him out of the pulpit. My mother disciplined me physically, with whatever means necessary and whatever was within reach. Come on. I didn't know that you could cook with a wooden spoon till I was 15. I thought they were for discipline. Come on, somebody. And so discipline sometimes, a lot of times, is left up to the parents because it's happened right now. Well, let me give you a little insight. And this works. Okay, this works. I'm telling you, this works. I got a whipping, what we like to say is a whooping. But officially it's whipping. We got a whipping. We got spanked. No, my dad didn't know spanking. He knew whooping. If mother gave you a spanking, a whooping, and you say, well, I'm against that. I'm not telling you you have to go out and spank, start spanking your kids. It's too late for some of you. Come on. But if my mother gave us a spanking or a whooping, when daddy got home, he gave you a whooping. Because mama had to. Now that will deter mamas from having to discipline children real quick. My daddy said that there's this link between the buttocks and the brain. And with enough pressure applied to the buttocks, it sends a signal to the brain not to do that anymore. And I believe that. Amen. It worked. It worked. Amen. So those are five things we're going to talk about a little bit. But a lot of the time, we're going to talk about provision. A lot of the time, the men think they only have one role, and that's the obligation to provide financial security for the family. And that is one of your roles, but that is not your only role. How many of you, and I've said this too, come in after a hard day, kids is crazy, you know, climbing all over, and, you know, mom's just a mess, and you're wondering why supper's not ready. Or in my case, why there's not tea made. Now, I can learn pretty quick. Sometimes it takes me a while. And say, well, you've probably made this statement. I've been working all day. What have you been doing? Wrong answer. Wrong statement. Wrong question. And we think that because you've been home as a mother, you hadn't been doing anything, and my role is provide. You've said that. If you're a man, you've said, well, my role, I'm providing in this house. You don't want you to be providing for yourself. Amen? That's not fun. Well, you'll be providing for them down the street too, you know, because they're going to move out. But so provision. So fathers, you need to step it up a notch. Yes, provide financially, but also take your role as a spiritual leader in the home. Provide spiritual training. Provide spiritual provisions for your kids. You can do it. I was told once, you take your kids to church too much. They're too involved in church. Oh, I wish I could talk to them now. Because I know them and their kids aren't in church at all. Matter of fact, they're not even in church anymore. And I'm thinking, huh? Boy, I could put some salt in the wound right there. But I won't. But here's the deal. I thought it was necessary when I was doing ministry for my kids to be involved in some type of ministry so they can show up and know how to. I mean, this is the way it works. Boys need fathers to show them how to become men. You know, how come we got, I can't say that word. Do you know how we got feminine women or feminine men? Because fathers took the role and said, Mom, you do it. I don't want to do it anymore. You do it. I'll make money. You take care of them. And so we've got this very feminine side to men. Come on, somebody. Hunter, we got those pictures. I want the cowboy one first. Now, look, before you put it up, don't put it up yet. Don't put it up yet. I don't endorse everything on this picture, but it proves my point. Go ahead and show that first one. How many of you remember that? The Marlboro Man. Now, I'm not advocating smoking. The idea here is you got a cowboy. Rough, tough, sun-beaten cowboy hat carrying his saddle because he probably got bucked off a horse somewhere and he's mad or at that horse, you know. If you've ever had a horse, you know what I'm talking about. If you hadn't, you don't know what I mean. And so you got this tough guy with a cigarette in his mouth and he is a man's man. You know, if you see that guy, you just keep your eyes closed and you keep going because he's that kind of man. You don't mess with him, right? Come on, somebody. That's a man's man right there, you know. He's just there. Now, go to the picture of the lions. Men back in the day. And you got men today with man buns. A fellow with a man bun just wants to be a woman. Seems like. I mean, if you got so much hair that you got to pull it up, something wrong with you. But that's kind of the picture. We got that today. Why? Because women used to wear their hair up. They've been feminized. It's cool. To who? If you see me with a man bun, you know two things happen. I bought a wig, and I went off my rocker. Amen? Last picture. That's what's portrayed as men today. Calvin Klein made men sexy. Calvin Klein feminized masculinity to a torn T-shirt like you tore that working or something. That shirt probably cost $500 laying there like something. Give me the Marlboro Man as a role model. Come on, somebody, without the cigarette. Amen. Give me that guy. But this guy here, but that's where we at. How many of you see that today? You got these feminized women, I mean men, having babies. What do you think they're going to turn out like? I'm just saying. I'm not going to say what they're going to turn out like. You just figure it out. You see it today. In the early years, boys are influenced more by their mothers. In the later years, more by their fathers when it's time for them to go to work. I tell my son all the time, especially if it's hot, If we're in a grain bin somewhere, we're doing something I don't really like, I make this statement: I cannot wait for my grandboys to get up big enough to work. And every year I get older, that year for them decreases. It comes down a year or two. I first thought it was going to start about 10. Now it's about 8 right now. I'm telling you, it's after the last couple of days, 8. And so we're going to have problems with their mamas, but we're going to make it. Amen. But fathers need to influence their young men in their life, their boys, to be men. We need to show them how to be a man. Come on, somebody. And girls, don't forget about the girls. Girls need fathers, the study shows, as much, if not more, than little boys. A few years ago, there was a statistic that said that girls raised without fathers were 83% more likely to become pregnant before they got married. You know why? Because they were looking for that affirmation from a father that they didn't have at home. And they were the first young man that came along and said, "I love you." They said, "Oh, you do? Well, I love you too." And then sex turned into love, and you get it. Girl's self-esteem hangs on the relationship between her and her father. Her esteem. I mean, how she views herself in life hangs on the relationship between a father and a daughter. That's huge. I mean, think about it. You mean as a young child that I get to build the self-esteem in my daughter for years to come? Absolutely. As a godly father, you can, and you do. It says that fathers should be the first male to tell a little girl that they are pretty. Come on, a dad telling a spiritual father, telling a daughter, "You are beautiful. You're just so pretty." That starts the affirmation process that she's beautiful. And see, we wait for them to grow up to see if they're going to be pretty. No, that's not pretty. Come on, somebody. Pretty is in the eyes of the beholder. As a father, you think your child is beautiful. She's pretty, and she needs to hear from somebody that believes in her. But our fathers have said, "Well, she ain't really that pretty." Or we don't tell them at all. That's a problem. You see it today. There's more teenage pregnancies, out-of-wed pregnancies right now than ever before, because little girls that are now 17, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 are looking for affirmation from a male figure that they never got from home. Now, you can go and look up all these statistics for yourself, and you see that it's not even biblical. It's a biblical principle that we should follow, and we could reverse that. But this is why. The world's not in a mess because Satan's out there roaming around. The world's in a mess because of families, because the dads are sitting on their blessed assurance and not doing anything spiritually. Come on, somebody. Amen. Whoop. I knew you'd amen me on this. Fathers should also be the first to tell little girls what a godly man looks like. We should show them what a godly man looks like. If you don't show them when he shows up, how are they going to know, Daniel? They won't know. Y'all know my prayer for my grandkids. It's always been this: God, that they would love you more than anything or anyone in the world. If I can get that right, if my daughters and sons can get that right into their kids, that if they love God more than anything or anyone in the world, guess what? They'll be able to notice when a godly man or godly woman shows up in their life. It's important for fathers to model godliness. That means you got to read your Bible. You can't say, "Well, I do come to church," but you complain when you get up the whole time. "We got to go to church today. Your mama wants us to go to church. Come on, let's go to church. We're going to go and we're going to enjoy church today. We're going to lift up our hands and worship God. Yes, Lord." Stay home. You're infectious. Get up and say, "We're going to church today, whether mama said it or not. It's not up to mom. We're going to go to church. I'm the spiritual leader. We're going to church, and we're going to be happy about it. We're going to come in with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. Glory to God. We're going to smile when we walk in the door. We're going to say, 'Hey, how you doing?' We're having a wonderful time." And all hell broke loose at your house last week. Well, that's lying, isn't it? Kind of. But the idea is, look beyond your circumstances. See, if we just look at the sermon, I got to earn another dollar. I got to get through this week. And we let all this other stuff just go to the side. Guess what? We wake up 10 years from now and our kids are 10, 15 years old. And we say, "What? Why are you acting this way? What happened?" Come on, somebody. Fathers should be the first to affirm little daughters, their little daughters. Now, I didn't do such a great job with my daughter. I was learning how to do all that. And I didn't have a preacher tell me this. I'm going to tell you. I wish I had. Might have changed something different. But I can tell you one thing. I got two granddaughters. Boy, I'm going to get it right on this one, David. I'm going to get it right. I mean, it's going to be, I'm going to get it right on. Even though I'm not their daddy, I'm their best daddy, their granddaddy. I'm going to get it right. They're going to know that their papa affirms them, loves them. I wasn't the first male to kiss them on their cheek. I guarantee it. I know their daddy. But I was probably the second. Come on, somebody. Kiss them on the cheek. It's okay to get those snotty kisses and slobbery kisses. Man, I love those, man. Because one of these days they're not going to do that at all. David Dodson says this way, take time with them right now because when they get older, they got cell phones. They don't want you around unless they want you to pay the bill. Amen. Take time now. It's okay. Take time out of your day. Look, it's been known of me. And my family's, they're doing something wherever they are right now. Not listening to me in here. They may be back there. But look, I get wired up on the farm. As my daddy said, tighter than Dick's hat band. I don't even know what that means. It's just tight. You see? But I've been known in the busy time of the year when my daughter and my wife would pull up with them grandbabies, we shut that thing down, get out on the turn road and play a little bit. You know why? Because Bobby Miller says there's something more important in this world than farming. There's something more important in this world than earning a dollar. Come on, somebody. They're going to know some things from Papa. Daughters and sons need to know that from you, that they are the most important thing in your life. It's not your dollar. Yeah, you got to have that, but they're not the one. So let me move on. If fathers aren't showing little girls what godly men are supposed to look like, how will they know what they're supposed to look like? You're supposed to model that in front of them. And if you don't, you know what they're going to pick up on? Whatever the culture says is a good man or a good woman. That's what they'll pick up on and say, yep, there they are right there. If culture says it, most of the time it's wrong. Because culture changes. God's word never changes. It's steady. It's true. It's solid. Because it is God. And his word says, I'll never change. Fathers failing to take notice at home and be a father opens up the door. Now listen to me. It opens up the door for your kids to be influenced by the world. I don't know about you, but I don't know of anything in the world that I want my kids being influenced by. I'm talking about of the world. Now, all the things of the world can be viewed from a biblical viewpoint, and those things can be good. But I don't know that I want them influenced by anything in the world. James Dobson of Focus on the Family said this, cultural influence leads the family, listen to this harsh word, these harsh words, leads the family straight to hell. Cultural influence, the culture. Look back, we just saw some pictures of a guy in the 70s, a man's man. The other picture was in the 2000s, and I don't know what he is. He's just there. I can bet you this, though, his mom and daddy wasn't godly. Well, everybody can turn out different. I'm just telling you, cultural influence molds kids when fathers are absent. Y'all really are liking this message today. I believe that one of the major factors in the American family, the decay of the American family is the absence of fathers. I've been preaching it from here. Fathers, you have to step up. Fathers, it is time for you to be fathers and not friends. I said, fathers, it's time for you to be fathers and not friends. You can be friends later on. Your child, listen to me, I know this goes against culture, but you're not supposed to be your child's friend. You're supposed to be their father. That's what the Bible says. Fathers, train up a child in the way it should go. You'll have time to be friends later on. I can assure you that. I got a 30-year-old and a 34-year-old. We're friends, but I'm still their daddy. Come on, I can still be a father at 30, but I can be their friend now. They're on their own doing their thing. I can still give godly advice. I can be a father, but I can also be a friend. I can cut up in ways now that we used not to cut up. Come on. Amen. It's time for our fathers to quit allowing matters of the soul to be influenced by the world. In other words, salvation. It should come from the Father. How many of you have sat down with your father and said, look, do you know Jesus? When they're 7, 8, 9, do you know Jesus? I told the story here a while back about my little granddaughter knowing she was going to heaven. And I asked her how she knew that she would go to heaven. And she rattled off a bunch of stuff, Daniel, like, well, because my papa's a preacher. I said, boy, she's coming up short right there. Because my papa's a preacher and my mama sings and my Nina goes to church and she helps teach and all that. My daddy's been, and she gives all this list, which are great things. And I told her, I said, yeah, but see, we want to be cute right there. That's not a cute moment. I said, yeah, baby, but that don't get you to heaven. You got to have Jesus in your heart. She said, oh, Papa, I got him in my heart. That's why I really know that I'm going to heaven. See, somewhere in there, mom and dad had taught her, he's got to be in here for you to go to heaven. Now, that's spiritual leadership. Ephesians 5:22. I'm going to talk to the wives just a minute. I'm going to close. Ephesians 5:22 says this, and I just love to bring this up on Father's Day. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, you break out that verse at my house, and there is a heated debate on what submit means. It can get deep. So, I want to tell you what the word submit really means in the biblical dictionary. It means this. In the Greek, it means to put in an orderly fashion or to determine. That's what submit means, to put in an orderly fashion. So, let me back up, and I'm going to give men, you got to bear with me, it's your day, but it ain't your day right now. You've got to be following a spiritual leader called Christ in order for your wife to want to submit to you the way she should. So there's this saying, the Bible says that men, as I follow, Paul saying, as I follow Christ, you follow me. So we got to follow Christ so that our wives will want to follow us. And sometimes it's not because they don't like you, it's because they don't like you. They don't like what you're doing. They don't like your idea of theological, theological definitions. They don't like that. They don't like the way you interpret God's word because you're wrong. Watch this. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Fathers, you need to submit to God. When you submit to God, I can assure you your life will begin to line up in a better way. Your husband, your wife, I keep calling them husband, we ain't that away here. If y'all here, we are not that away. You got a husband and wife, and not Adam and Steve, nothing like that. Amen. It's Adam and Eve. And so you line up with God's word, and then your wife sees that as a godly woman, and she begins to follow you. Yeah, but if she would just do this and this and this, I'd be better. Okay. That's a lie. Now, me saying that, Wives, you got to honor or submit to your husbands. Now watch this. Fathers need to be honored by their families. It was hard for my wife to honor me when I had my anger issues. It's hard for her when the kids would say, "Why is Daddy so mad?" "Well, he's just going through some things, honey, but he's still your daddy." Come on, somebody. We need to be honored by our family, even when we're not doing the best that God wants us to be. We're not there yet. We're still working on it. If you'll honor us, oh my goodness. Let me tell you what it says. They need to know. We need to know that we're more than providers. I'm just bringing home the bacon and you're spending it at Amazon. I told my wife the other day, if you're going to quit buying from Amazon, give them a 2-week notice because they're going to need to refill in your spot. Amen. It's that thing comes regularly. I mean, look, we have a UPS drive over for supper next week. I mean, he's there all the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so he's just there. And I'm thinking, wow. But we're not just for that. And we believe that that's sometimes why that's the only role that we have in the family. But here's why. That's the only role we do. That's the only thing we want to do. We don't want to be spiritual leader. We want to just make the money. Now, you do the rest. Now, I want your honor, though. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. It has been said that a woman to her husband, I like this, is like wind to a fire. A little bit will flame the fire. It'll just make it great. And a whole lot of the wind will blow it out. Now that's going to go across you in just a minute. What I'm saying is, women, you can say too much and it just takes the wind right out and just whoop. Say enough to encourage us and build us up even when we're trying. And if we're trying, tell us, "I see you're trying." My wife used to tell me, "I see you're trying." You know what that meant for me? Keep on doing what you're doing. "I see you're trying." And she didn't say, "I see you're trying, but..." "I see you trying, but if you just do this..." "I'm trying to fix this and not that yet. Give me a little space." See, yeah, 20 years is enough, isn't it? No. My point is, pick out those things, wives. Pick out those things that your husband's doing good and tell him he's doing them good. And guess what? He'll get around to, if he's following God, he'll get around to those things that's a problem for you. I told you a couple of times, and I'm going to tell you this story, and then I'm going to close in a while. Me and God had this conversation about my wife's issues, and I prayed for her. Spiritual, I'm spiritual. I prayed to have my hand on her back. Glory to God, I was in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I start going through her list. Pretty good list, too. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "When are we going to get to your list?" I said, "We're working on hers right now, God. Come on." And I began to pray about my list, the things that God had put in my heart about me and not my wife. And all of a sudden, Jessica, my wife's list got real small. Why? Because when God said, "What about your list?" I submitted to God. Okay, God, what do you want to do in my life? Not necessarily my wife's life. Oh, it'd make this better if she wouldn't do this, this, and this. Well, guess what? When I started lining up more with God, those things that she used to didn't bother me anymore. They really weren't there. I was just nitpicking. Come on, fathers. You want to be a spiritual man? You got to do this stuff. These things I'm telling you about right now, this is what you got to do. Man up. You want to be a man? Man up and say, "Lord, what do you want to do in my life?" Go home and tell your wife, "Hey, guess what? This fix to get better." Come on. In the Bible, it tells us that men ought to be the priest of our homes. Can I have keyboardist? Where is she in here? She out back? Ralph, will you come up and sing something? Never mind, we don't need it. It's okay to have fun in the house of God now. If you're new and you're visiting, we like to have fun here. The Bible says that men ought to be the priest of their homes. But in the Bible, if you read anything of the priestly duties, you will find that the priest did something every day to enhance God's glory among the people. They were busy about God's business in some shape, form, or fashion every day. So men, I'm going to end with this question to you. What are you doing every day that teaches your children about God, that leads them in that direction? What are you doing as a father, as a priest that says, every day I'm going to do something that will lead my kids and my family to God? What is that one thing? What is the one thing today? You may have to work on that one thing for a week or 2 weeks or a month before you move to anything else. And sometimes you can get it and your kids latch onto it and say, let's move to the next thing. I'll give you a couple real quick. How are you treating your wife? Come on, somebody. Men, how are you treating your wife? I believe that so many homes are spiritually stalled out because men are not treating their wives correctly. I'm talking about saved men. The Bible says that we ought to treat our wives, men, come on, as Christ treats the church. How many times has he forgiven you? How many times has he taken you back? How many times has he extended mercy to you? How many times has he extended grace to you? Come on. But yeah, we want God's blessings, but we don't want to extend grace. We want to go in and nag and complain and all that stuff about our wives and why this isn't clean and my shirt, my favorite shirt, you didn't wash, you didn't take it to the cleaners. I mean, my gosh, woman, all you got to do is put it in the car and take it up there, drop it off. I mean, hey, how hard is that? Maybe she had a bad day. Come on. Oh, I mean, you don't have bad days, do you? Maybe she had a bad day. Maybe things went crazy. Maybe she had it in her mind to do that, but you and your masculinity. When you come and say, honey, is there anything I can help you do? I noticed my shirt didn't get taken to the cleaners. You must have had a hard day. That would, your, some of you wives, you would have a heart attack right there on the spot. We'd have mass funeral right here at the church. You'd just fall out dead right there. What in the world? What did you do? Did you have an affair on me? Is that what happened to me? You did something. See, being a spiritual leader, man, it's not easy. It's hard. You got to swallow pride sometimes. You got to look past all this stuff that you used to do and all those secrets that your wife know and those times that you said things and you done things that you shouldn't have done. You got to look past that. And guess what, wives? You got to look past it too. You got to look past it and say, well, that's not who they used to be. If you don't want people looking at your past, then don't look at theirs. We have a little saying around here. We don't care about your past because we can't change your past. We're interested in your future because that's the one thing I can help you with. Will you stand with me across this building? Say, Pastor, I've never heard a Father's Day message like this where I got to do something that the burden's put on me. Pastor, I don't even know where to start. I didn't have a godly example in my life. That's okay. Man, that is okay. There's men in this church that'll give you a godly example. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know the last time I've even seen my father. I've done some things looking for that father figure in my life that I'm not proud of. And I showed up today just hoping I can find some answers. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this building. If that's you, as a father, you say, Pastor, I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. If that's you, will you just stick up your hand real quick. I want to pray with you. Yes, I see that hand. 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 I see hands all over the building. I see that hand. I see his hands all over this place. You know, the first step in wanting to be better is you deciding that you want to be better. And by raising your hand, you said, I want to be better. I want to be a better spiritual father, a better spiritual husband. I want to be a better spiritual son to my Lord Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if all of the men all over this building, will you just stick up both your hands? I'm going to pray with you. All over this room, stick your hands up. Father, you see the men that are represented here today. And I pray the Holy Spirit would move upon these men today. Not next week, but today. Lord, put in us a desire to follow you, which will in turn, Lord, make us better fathers, make us better husbands, make us better sons and of you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Ghost, Lord, would just move upon people in this building today. Lord, touch their hearts. Lord, help them in the time of need. Lord, your word says that the Holy Spirit is a helper. Help them in their time of need. Lord, when they want to go backwards, Lord, God, give them strength to go forward. Lord, give them strength, Lord, to swallow pride. Lord, to admit their wrongs. Lord, give them strength to not play the blame game. If this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have done this. Or if this hadn't happened, Lord, I pray in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Let this be so today, God. If you don't know Jesus, still with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. If you don't know Jesus in this room, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I got to have a place to start. If that's you and you don't know Jesus, what I want you to do is I want you to come forward right now. I want to pray with you. I want to pray a sinner's prayer with you. I came here today because I was hurting and I got stuff in my life that I don't know how to fix. Seems like my life is just in turmoil and I don't know how to fix this. And this can be man or woman. It's not to fathers, it's anyone. You want to give your heart to the Lord. I want you to come make your way to the front right now. I want to pray with you. We're going to have some men come pray with you. We're going to pray a sinner's prayer with you. We're going to give you some information. We're going to give you a Bible, give you some information. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want to today, will you come forward? Will you make that commitment? He's waiting. He's so patient. He wants to pour out mercy and grace upon you. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Is that you? Will you come? I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want to. Will you come today? Just make your way down here. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence that we felt in this place today. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we know will not return void. I pray that some words that are spoken today will penetrate past the intellect into the spirit of people in this building. That we can take something today from your word today and build on it, God. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. As we leave today, Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. I pray we find favor with God and with man. Lord, that increases, prosperity, job promotions, raises would come our way. And I pray for peace, Lord, to rest over every rooftop. Blanket that roof with your peace. So that when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep will come to our physical bodies and our spiritual souls. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Hey, will you love on somebody as you leave today? Hey, don't forget, if you want to get a picture with your family, your fathers, we've got a booth out here and old chair. Glory to God. Thank God for women. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Give Elizabeth a hand. Amen. Look, if you will help us, if you'll go ahead and get your stuff up, because we can't move the chair with you in it. We're going to need some of you men to help us move these all the way back.